welcome back to the Six of Wands. This is the live show in the Six of series, the Six of Swords, Six of Cups, Six of Wands, and the Six of Discs. And this is the fifth in that series, soon to be the first of the second, as you'll soon see. This is the part in the show, of course, where we give a shout out to those who are joining us in the live series. We had a lot of really great people with us. We had Kurt and we had Daniel McCarthy. Daniel wasn't able to make it on the mic, but he tried to make it on there. We had our buddy Freighter Robert there, I believe it is, and we had a bunch of other people. Forgive me if I didn't throw out your name or anyone, but you know who you are. I think there were a few other people there. Tune in and you'll get a shout out too if you're there. It's a selective thing. It's a celebration and a reward or award, or choose your take your pick. It's awesome. You get to be recognized. Not everyone does. It's great if you get to, and you really increase your chances if you go there. And sometimes if you join live, not only do you get a shout out, you also get to have an item for the game, the value for value role playing game. That is exclusively given to those who are there present at that time. So you don't want to miss that. That's obviously something you're going to want to be there for. In the meanwhile, we have the shout-outs that are given. This is the executive and associative executive producer block, and you get to have your name mentioned with a message, notes, and you know how the value-for-value role, value-for-value system goes. It's just the same thing, but a bit of an evolutionary spin, with all gratitude and thanks, of course, to the Podfathers. And shout-outs to all the cool people at No Agenda Nation. I'd like to just say congrats to Billy Bones. Hope you're listening, Billy. This is a show you should listen to. Capital S should, right? Right on, man. Congratulations and welcome to the roundtable also over there at the No Agenda. Not to cross-pollinate and crossbreed, it just happens to be this one individual human being who happens to be Billy Bones, is now Sir Billy, Twin Peaks over there. So again, two different shows, but always respect to that, because where else would I have gotten the value for value from if it weren't for that? And do homage, motherfucker. So without further ado, this is the fifth of the episodes for the Fiery. We used a Goethe poem to open this one up. This is the first in the series without a fiery poem. This was a diversion, but it's the perfect time to do so. There will be any amount of poems used now at the beginning. Now, let's see here. The beginning was Jabberwock, of course, for the first episode of the Six of Wands, and that was the fire that was in the eyes of the Jabberwock. And others were more obvious, as the fire theme is something that will continue to crackle up in the future. For now, we will enjoy the discursion. But let us away into the episode and enjoy this fifth of the Six of Wands, wherein many things are talked about that you soon shall hear, because why would you need to have a preview when you can listen to it live right now within your own life, burning on the sticks that are our lives? Cheers.
Hey, 3, 2, 1. Hey, welcome back to the Six of Wands. This is the live Six of Series show. This is episode 5. We begin with Farewell by Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. To break one's word is pleasure fraught. To do one's duty gives a smart. All man, alas, will promise not. That is repugnant to his heart. Using some magic strains of yore, thou lurest him when scarcely calm. On to sweet folly's fragile bark once more. Renewing, doubling chance of harm. Why seek to hide thyself from me? Fly not, my sight be open then. Known late or early it must be. And here thou hast thy word again. My duty is fulfilled today. No longer will I guard thee from surprise. But oh, forgive the friend from whom thee turns away. And to himself for refuge flies. So welcome to the Six or the fifth or the fourth or the fifth of the sixth of wands. This is the live interactive and call-in type show for the Six Up series. And this evening we're going to be discussing a lot of different topics that we do, but mainly it is Jupiter in Capricorn and not the way that people have been looking at it. Jupiter in Capricorn for me is a very important time of existence because we know that Jupiter takes about almost 12 years to do what the Sun does in 1 year or what Saturn does in 30 years. So every 12 years, you're going to get like a repeating pattern that you can utilize to look at where that has been as a chapter in your life and see what that's going to do in the next 12 years, at least so far as I understand it in a general way. My 11th house is where my Jupiter is, and that's in Capricorn at the fourth degree, which is where it is in the sky as we are here this evening. It was yesterday. It will be tomorrow. My Jupiter is there right now. That's happening as we speak. I realized that, and I get personal on this show because there's no other way to really help other people through life if you don't put skin in the game. I had like such a change at this time of Jupiter being in Capricorn in my earlier 12 years ago, where basically I was like the Toy Story alien in the machine, and you remember the claw coming along and it basically came along like this, and here I am in my life, and this is really what it felt like, right? And here's the pun, of course, because that's what it feels like to be abducted. So it's just kind of like that my whole shiz was displeased, and not really displeased so much as displaced. Like, I literally moved from the town that I moved into after our family moved out of the house we had for the first 20 years of our life. The house at 23 Ellis Street, for those who are. So, when I ended up getting this Jupiter coming around, it was the beginning of course, you can look back on planetwatcher.com. It would be literally January 5th, right? So about 2 weeks to the day from today, January 5th, 2008. Now, I want you guys to all think about where you were at the beginning of 2008. Because wherever you were at that, literally the beginning of 2008, wherever you were at that point, that's where Jupiter and Capricorn was for you guys individually. So you can kind of use that as a metric to where you're at on that cycle in your own journey using where Jupiter is in your chart. So that being said, I basically, strangely enough, ended up being moved like I, without getting too personal, I literally ended up two houses away from the Masonic Lodge in Norwood. And I had no idea what masonry was back then. I had no idea about anything, you know, that wasn't even on my radar. And 10 years later, it turns out that I literally ended up moving to, like, here's the lodge. Like, proximity, like, you could get a bad Google map and it would think it's the same place. So, I mean, like, what in the world is going on? So it's like any good synchronicity. That's a good example of how there's a higher dimensional aspect to our reality that is irrefutable. It's irrevocable. And anyone who can't see that, obviously they're not part of our tonight. So I guess, like, on this topic of people's journeys and where you're at. Now, we're going to keep coming back around to this, spiraling around it. But I'm going to bring some people who are on with us this evening. We have a whole bunch of cool people, and I feel like we're going to be able to get to everyone and have everyone have something to contribute. And if they want to have something to share tonight, they have their chance to have their say. We're going to talk about the period of time, because we are approaching right now 2020, and this is a very respective retro, you know, it's the end of a decade, so-called, except to be sure, like, just like 2001 was properly the first year of the new millennium, 2021, yada, yada. But yeah, you know, it is the season, so. Does anyone, by indicating in here, nice one, exactly, 2020 vision, Joey. Joey, do you want to start by coming on, just talk a quick bit about, like, comparing where you were at in 2008 with whatever level of whatever you want. Yeah, would you like to come on and talk about the journey from January 2008 till now and say a little bit about your experience, maybe some advice if you got some? I'm playing just transition music while we're doing this. Like, I actually have a trained monkey at a calliope. The listener can't see that I'm lying to them about my trained monkey at the calliope. Okay, Joey. Joey, are you with us? I don't know if you're. Everyone should be able to be.
I don't know. You're just distracting me with your dancing and singing.
Welcome on, man. Hey, what's going on?
Not much, just hanging out.
So yeah, we're talking about like 2008, like as a reference point to where we're at now, which is like 12 years basically, I guess. Yeah, it really is. 2020, like super beginning of 2008, and yeah. What do you have as like a stark example from that? Because I know, like, obviously what we're doing here is different than like everyone's just like, oh, what did you do for the past 10 years? Obviously, we have a chance to look at this from a slightly more substantial. So like, what do you want to, like, what do you have like to meet whatever you want to say to that?
Well, that would be right before my Saturn return, since my Saturn is in Sagittarius. So yeah, just like a catalyst of change in my life, like changing colleges and like a bunch of stuff.
It's interesting to see the difference, because Saturn is like traditionally what, like 27 to 30, and so when we take like the difference between like 27 and 30, which are both kind of like three, and then we see that Jupiter's also at 12, which is another three. We see some kind of interrelation that's not that difficult that we can mathematically. And then you think about when Twin Peaks talks about when Jupiter and Saturn align. And I think in 2020 is especially when we're having that crazy Jupiter-Saturn conjunction. So this is the perfect time to be talking about this in the Jupiter in Capricorn right now. This is like astrology working through the panel here. Literally, it's what it is. And I think it's important to realize that those two energies are like so known for being so potent because they represent cataclysms in a sense. And it takes that kind of like great shaking to open up the veil, so to speak. So like, you know, it's like nothing, you know, you can't get anything with it's an alchemical thing, basically. So I think that like what we're heading towards is that whole Jupiter-Saturn conjunction, Jupiter being the expansion, Saturn being the, so it's like this perfect dynamo. People want to talk about how you make free energy. It's probably something along right line, you know, using a magnetic coil to create that kind of compression. I'm sure there, you know, something like that. I have no idea how that really works, but that sounds sciencey enough to me. Someone go build that shit. Is TSK with us? Is that you up there? Yes, I see you, buddy. Hey, do you want to come on and, Joey, is it okay if I have TSA come on and talk about some of the 2008 till now reviews? Is that okay with you?
Yeah, for sure.
Cool, man. TSK, come on.
Hey, what's going on?
Hello, sir. Welcome.
How's it going?
Welcome to the Six of Wands. You bring some good fire. I feel it. Come on, dude. What do you think about this idea of looking at it from 2008 till now, using the Capricorn to mark this kind of, the 4 degrees Capricorn to mark this way?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I was just thinking, for me, 2008, last time this happened, was shortly before my son was born. So it was a big time in my life when I went from, you know, all the freedom in the world and all these different things to really constricting down onto what was important and what was going to be, you know, a main drive for the rest of my life. So it totally makes sense. Yeah.
You just taught me a huge lesson. I never thought about how Saturn eats his children, but like, it's basically like the children eat the dad's time. If he's any kind of responsible man, then that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's a time of cutting out what's not important to be able to focus on what is, you know? And that's how I look at the difference between, you know, Jupiter and Sag to Jupiter, Saturn. Anyways, Jupiter, Sag is the king during the Renaissance. It's the king when everything's good, when the economy's good, when the kingdom's expanding, and then Jupiter and Cap is right when the war starts. It's the king during the Dark Ages. It's when you got to focus on what's important and everything else gets just thrown out the window pretty much.
You make me feel like you understand like what it happens. Like when I suddenly get very serious in any kind of situation, I'm gonna bring Kurt on in a second. It's just, I'm gonna open this up to everyone who's here in a second. Can't have any of this exclusive bullshit here. Listen, all I'm saying is that it feels like sometimes I get very serious sometimes. I mean, like I have Jupiter's my lord. I'm the son of Jupiter. My first three things immediately off the bat with rising is Jupiter. Second comes Venus with the Libra sun. And third is the sun itself because my moon is Leo. So my first three are all the benefics, like straight up off the front. But my Saturn is just so powerful. Yeah, you're not kidding.
Yeah, anyway. I feel you on that. That's how I am too. It's a, you know, ascendant sign of Saturn, sun sign of Saturn. My Saturn is in Libra exalted. It's Saturn all the way for me. So same thing, but on the other end.
So when you say like, it's like, you know, you like, there's like that joy of seriousness. Like my Jupiter is in the joy, as our friend Drake puts it. In the joy, it's in Saturn's joy or Capricorn's joy. I don't know. He says it better because he knows better. But my, you know, a lot of people would say Jupiter would have a hard time expressing itself in because it's not in its like its castle. But it's actually apparently, at least to some astrology mechanisms, it's in a really good place in the bad place. It's, you know, bad.
But yeah, I think it's Jupiter in its 11th house is called Jupiter's joy. So wherever that falls in, you know, 11th is like your family, your social structure.
Yeah.
And so if you have Jupiter in there, it's called Jupiter's joy. But
it was literally like going through a particular angle to when I joined Freemasonry, which is like your house of social in building. It's literally like I was born to do that, like without a doubt. Kurt, you want to come on and say hello, bud?
Sure. Can you hear me?
Hello. We're gonna get Freighter. Well, we'll get you on too after in a second. But hey, buddy, how you doing tonight?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Shit, dude. Just having a good time, having so many different cool people in one. You know, I want to see what we can get out of the ether tonight through our collective alchemy.
Right. I was just thinking that I'm a bit of a novice, it seems like, compared to this group, but it's very interesting to me. You've educated me quite a bit on it, and I appreciate that. So it's fascinating to learn.
It's super important too to realize that like we all are coming from a practical standpoint too, and we need like the reality based mechanism first. Like magic is all woo until it's working, you know. And I'll bring up one quick quote that I actually got from like a, you know, one of those iced tea things, but I put it on my website because I liked it. She's Rita Mae Brown, and this I'm using this to describe magic. Rita Mae Brown: never hope more than you work. So it's like, when you say like you know, we're all learning from each other, and seriously, these are the people we need together, like the different skills.
Right. It takes all the people putting their things together to make the whatever action it is to happen. Cause you know, just to make a chicken sandwich or whatever, cause I come from like an economics kind of understanding, you know, people got to make bread, harvest the wheat. Many hands go into making everything.
Yeah. And I mean, like, better that they're willing than not. And that's where we're coming from because, anyways, we'll get around to the longer cover, but right on. And if you'd like to join us, no pressure. Freighter Singular. Yeah. I think you are do you want to come on and say hi, or are you all set for now? What do you want to do?
I'll say hi. I put stuff in the chat, though.
So, oh, hey there, buddy.
Don't want to say out loud.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, do you want to just say who you are? Is that okay, or?
What do you mean, who I am? Like,
your name?
I'm Robert. Hi.
Hey, Robert. All right. Yeah. No, I'm not going to. Yeah, I can't really see you through that. I just want you to say whatever you feel like saying, maybe someplace about. You know, what you think about using Capricorn in general as a good marker, because it's a material standpoint, you know what I mean? What that represents. Would you like to say something about that?
I honestly have no idea anything about most of the stuff you're talking about.
Sure.
I literally just started, I've been researching this stuff for a while, just listening to podcasts and stuff like that for a few years. And just started with Golden Dawn stuff like a month ago. So,
oh, right on.
When you start talking about Capricorn and astrology, totally lost. I'm just a sponge absorbing right,
well,
right now.
Welcome. Yeah, you know what? Feel free to listen tonight, and we'll have you on a future show. How's that? But thanks for saying hi. So, Joey, you and I have both been talking a little bit about this outside of here, and TSK as well, and Kurt. So what we're going to do, I'm going to really drive this back home again just to keep us moving forward. Basically, what happened was I ended up switching where I was living, switching like what my, like, since it's through my 11th house, I have to like really couch this in like terms of like people and groups and stuff. But like, I went from like having a few I don't know, it's hard to explain, but like my social horizons like exploded like hugely. And it's like the past few years that's clearly been happening. Like, but like, it seems like I'm heading towards like an even more, in this current evening, a more mind numbing level of exposure to the mass human element. Let's keep it three words. That's easy. And I can tell that's like what I need to understand it as, because like, again, the 11th house plus some people see it. I don't really do this, but some people interpret it in the 10th house, the Jupiter right there. So it's got this 10th-y, 11th-y flavor, which I don't cusp things, but I'm seeing it come through in both. So it's very interesting to see this singular moment where like things have expanded like so much from that point until this point now. And now I can only see like here we are together this evening talking about astrology, using it for practical purposes. This is not like what happened before, and it's only going to get more different in the future. This is not to be over vague or generalistic, but that is to say that like, if this is amplified up and that's what I'm supposed to be paying attention to as far as patterns, I can only imagine what it's going to look like in 12 more years. That being said, you know, all we have is right now, and I really don't think it's useful to approach our art and spirituality and healing or anything if we're not going to look at it without the, you know, boots on the ground attitude. Because without that, forget armchair magicianing. You know what I mean? Like, the best thing an armchair magician could do is set themselves on fire in that chair. Maybe they'd get off their ass and do something cool. I don't know. Oh, we have admin great. I don't know who that is. Well, that's okay. We're good for now. We have TSK and Joey and Kurt and myself, so we're good. But anyone who's not mentioned there, if you want to throw out who you are in the chat, that's cool, man. Love to figure out who people are, and yeah. Anyways, it's odd. How did that get out there? Anyways, so yeah, guys, let's bring it around to something kind of more practical. Like, Kurt, you said you're just learning about this now. Like, what does it sound like when you hear people talking about this stuff? Like, what would make it easier for you to, like, you know what I mean? Is that a good question? Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. At first, I used to be, you know, my brain would shut off because it didn't logically make sense to me personally. Then the more, like, when I started to interact with, you know, people that thought about, I've always been into the area of ideas quite a bit, but I was very dismissive of these at first. The more I started to listen to myself as a whole, like, it was easier to accept things that I didn't have to out of hand reject them. I could see the value that people gain from certain things and stuff like that. So then I started to like try to listen to where the person was coming from when they were telling me these particular things. And so I started to gain understanding there. And there was just messages there that I before couldn't tell and that now I can easier. And the more I learn about it, the easier it gets.
It's super important, man, because like so many people when they get into this stuff, I mean, God bless them, and maybe they're right. Maybe I'm just not, you know, hacking their chops, but, you know, they seem to really feel like they know what they're talking about. And I feel like your attitude right there is what I would love to remind myself of, like, continuously, especially when it comes to this stuff. I mean, it's important to, like, you know, truly know what your will is and to know who you are and not let any kind of like hypnotic force against your will enter into your, you know what I'm saying? You know, have the best old Bible quote, you know, give no shit, take no shit. I think it is. So it's like when you look at the occult community in general, so many people, you know, obviously on this call also seem like, you know, we're all still kind of, you know, learning. None of us are grand magi of, you know, Ipsissimon College, but like, you know, I mean, I think a couple of us could at least hack it in some beginning Hogwarts classes. You know what I'm saying? Like a couple of us could probably do some good upper level damage even. And a lot of us have some cool stories from like things that have happened over the past few years with like giant magical communities, which like straight up continues to this day with even in the, a few people in our crowd here today. And, yeah, I mean, like, I feel that the people who are doing this now, if we can keep humble about this, if we can keep real about this, if we can just keep adult about this, and like, I mean, like, honestly, if we continue applying our noses to the grindstone, just whatever that manifests as, because we're going to, with the attitude of work, we'll do it. You know what I'm saying? Whatever that manifests as, I think in 12 more years coming around when Jupiter returns back to 4 degrees Capricorn again, we're going to see a much more... The fear porn world that people projected was totally a letdown compared to what we made it. I hope that makes sense.
There is a lot of sensationalists out there that they draw attention by, you know, blowing stuff up out of proportion, and it keeps eyes on top of them. They like that a lot. I think the people that are out there that are like teaching people how to think for themselves, stuff like that, those are the ones that are going to end up on top at the end, because they've showed people what their work is worth. And if they got value out of it, they're going to return that value in a way, no matter what.
I feel like
pass it forward.
I feel like that's super important, because like there's going to be different levels to things. I feel like we're going to, okay, just off the top of my head, and what the fuck do I know? But I feel like the economy will basically split into three things. It's going to get fragile but stronger in a weird way, because we're moving towards modern monetary theory and all that jazz, right? It's looking to Martin Armstrong, whose book just sold out. I emailed Adam Curry like this morning that Martin sends the book out. It's like $95 for a copy. I'm like, all right, I'll get mine on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I say, Adam, hey, you might want to get this, because, and so the thing disappears in 3 hours. Initially, it looked like the government might have bought it all out, but it's all legit. People wanted this book so bad, it sold out. Fastest Amazon's ever had a book sell out, apparently. This is good. So Martin Armstrong, who there's a film about, the Forecaster, they open using tarot cards, and he actually, long story short, Martin starts off as a coin collector as a kid, loves money, he's super smart, builds this thing called Socrates that lets him, pretty much, he's pretty solid with the market, you know. And the basic long and short is the government wants his program. We won't give it to them. He's too freedom-minded. They put him in jail. They try to kill him twice. Jeffrey Epstein didn't, but they didn't get Martin. So basically, Martin Armstrong is who we're talking about, and that's an economist. You would actually, like, in No Agenda Speak, I guess they like Ted Kaczynski, Uncle Ted, the guy, you know, aka the Unabomber, who basically was a MK Ultra victim of Harvard. So a genius dude, wicked sharp, now in jail for being
17-year-old math professor. College math professor.
Yeah, I mean, like, honestly, unbound spirit, and he not such a good thing to hurt people with the explosion stuff, but, you know, he's a genius, and I can't take away from the genius. But anyway, so there's a Martin Armstrong I compare to Kaczynski in a way. He's just a raw force of nature. He doesn't let anyone tell him what to do, and the Archons went to town on him, and, you know, I mean, so back to what you're saying about real people and real things coming out on top, you know, no matter what the metric of the world is, if you're using the world's metric, the world's always going to be like rooting for that kind of thing anyway. So you got to go by the spirit metric no matter what. And that's always the win of the soul. That's always the win. It always comes back around to the victor is the one who does the right thing, whatever that is, no matter if it's a magical thing or otherwise. We need to realize that there is a particular set force that was set into creation when everything was measured and cast. I mean, these aren't dice we're playing with, even when we're playing with them.
Forgot it's my show. I got to keep talking, huh? Okay, great. Hey, you guys heard of that Six of Wands podcast? Just burn everything. Whoa, is that subliminals? No, dude, I don't have that kind of technology right now. People keep doing the show. I will, though. And that's another thing that I value, you know, is the ability to have a highly produced show. And that's another thing that I'm looking forward to down the line with this. What's cool is that this is still like, gosh, it's real. It's just like things really are waiting for certain artists to build it so they come. It's fucking weird how we even exist at all. So then there's like that ripple metric. And to like actually do this, it's like kind of like mind-blowing, to be honest with you. When I started, it was like months and months and months of prep. And I did like three of my closest friends. I'm like, guys, I'm kind of like, and it's just like you jump off a cliff and do it. And I'm encouraging anyone to hear this. Like, you're not meant to do everything. Not everything succeeds. I don't know where I'm going to end up with this. Heaven and hell's high water knows that I will succeed in this life at whatever the fuck it is I'm actually doing. But ultimately, if it is part of it, this show, down the line, we're going to see a lot of really high quality audio. It's mostly going to maintain the educational and spiritual tone of things. Not too many of the, you know, different types of shows for different things. But so let's bring in Joey again, because Joey, you guys used art in a way that was really cool. You guys sent me Midnight in Paris, which is kind of like a weird art movie itself. It's Woody Allen doing this kind of like time travel thing where the narrator is in this rocky relationship with this bleh, and you know, she basically is out of the picture most of the time, and he's spending most of the time wandering midnight in Paris, and he ends up traveling through some kind of vortex, spoiler alert, I suppose. And he meets different kinds of artists and authors and gets to experience them talking about their works and their kind of foibles and even rhinoceros. So I would say that, Joey, do you want to talk a little bit about these kind of like artsy, kind of like it's almost an Alice in Wonderland dream-like motif. Do you want to talk about that and compare that to maybe explaining how magic can be seen to start to work for maybe someone who's not super familiar?
I mean, you just got to just got to try it and do it, you know, and if it works, then it worked. And then you just go from there, you know.
And so this is the part also in the mid-tro, we call it, where we say thank you for listening. Between the amounts of, if you come in under 200, then you're going to get your note read as long as it's above 50. The 50 point is the cutoff for anonymity. Those who like anonymity, who there are quite a few of you, thank you very much for donating. Some are on a monthly and some are on a weekly. I appreciate everyone who does. And remember, the bigger amounts coming in get credit into the show, and that's built into the future system of how this all works. But if there's any type of show to start getting in good on, well, not only is it this one, but this one's going to be getting even better and better. Look for the quality of the show to start improving as well. I can't say that the guests are already top notch and are going to continue to be. It's really my line of questioning, my approach to the show, and how I present it as well. That is all going to improve and improve and improve. As far as the guests, we already have top notch. I'm just going to continue getting even better quality questions out of myself to give to them, to also generate better discussion and formulate better responses for praxis-based living in the art, spirituality, and healing, and other expanded parallel lateral communities, and how you say, more like thought tool praxis communities, but also actual communities. The real live stuff. There's nothing else like it. So part of the reason we have this show is for real lived experiences as well. We might as well be together when we're listening to these episodes in real life. Do you know what I mean? And so that being said, as we and for the Six of Wands, we literally are. That's part of why we do this. It's literally out of the show to be saying such things on. The truth is the truth. So we shall soldier on, venture on, carry on upwards, onwards and all that jazz, because it's true. That's true. And we also have another six of discs coming out after this for this month. And then that'll be wrapping it up for the year of 2019. And I'll be doing some retrospectives in the next couple of days, personally, as I formulate this, just as a time capsule from when we're talking about this. Hopefully there was something useful in this episode that was worth listening to back again. So much created. How much is actually worth going back to, you know? All that time talking, all that air filling up. All right. Well, back to the show. Very good vault. I mean, back to the show.
I mean, astrology is difficult. I mean, you just gotta, like, memorize the things, you know?
That's true. I guess that was a hell of a way to set up that question. Tell me how that guy slipping through a wormhole is like magic. I guess the long and short of the response to that would be like conditioning your mind to get to a particular point of fantasy. And at this point, I mean, like, if you can get the right magical geography and the right kick going, you might even discover some of those writers are still there proper. But yeah. I would say the astrology bit that you just talked about, the shift left into that room, it's a lot of things to remember, but you're right. If you can start to remember the 12 zodiac signs and that there's an order and that there's only four elements, so if there's 12, there's three types of each element to make 12. You just remember it goes in order, cardinal, fixed, mutable. I mean, the whole thing starts to make sense after a while of remembering your ABCs. You can start to spell words. After a while of remembering your angular houses, you can start to spell fortunes.
Yeah, and like the house is using whole sign. And then you can just like, whenever a planet moves into a new house, a new sign, you know that that's a house in your chart or someone's chart, and that's where things started to really take off for me. But I mean, I'm still learning, but I'm kind of taking my own way, taking it slow, you know.
What my frustration is, I suppose, is that I want to make sure that whatever's being done with these, so many people are doing podcasts, so many people are doing things. What I want, it's the market is saturated. It's like Modest Mouse says, all this time, all this talking and talking and talking, and all the air fills up until there's nothing left to breathe. And I mean, like, there's only so much time in life, you know what I mean? And I think that the reason I'm keeping this also down to an hour, just to kind of like get it out there and burn and burn and just make sure I utilize that fiery energy, the intensity of the need for something like that. We can't have all of these endless streams of shows and things like that and expect it to like mean things. We ultimately need to realize that, like, maybe I need to just stop doing this show altogether and start just focusing on one or two other things ultimately. But like, here's the thing, like, there needs to be a function and a praxis for all of these, and like all of these shows that we have and all of these things, like entertainment. But like, you know, isn't that going to just spin our wheels? You know what I mean? Like, until we break radically free from, you know, that mindset. I mean, there's another darker side to this, because only so many are going to rip themselves free from the cogs and choosing to work for others and things like that. There's a whole other side to that, and I don't have the answers for everyone. I have the answers for those who are going to. Or actually, fuck me, I don't have any answers, but I think I have some good things to say for those who might. Yeah, that's probably more humble, and Jesus Christ. Yeah, honestly, like, I think I know what I'm doing, you know, but I'll tell you that with the proper caveat, make your own obvious decision. But, you know, I'm always open to feedback, which is another beautiful thing about the Six of Wands, because I need to keep myself in check too. Of course, 00 Libra, I literally want everyone to be happy, but I'm learning I can only help so many. But that being said, I still want to help as many as I can. Just, you know, that being said, again, what's the point of a podcast? You know what I mean? this is something I'm going to start to be exploring too, because like the very nature of what I'm doing needs to have some microcosm and macrocosm or fractal relevance. It needs to have a justification for being, or else I'm not going to do this. And it doesn't have strictly to do with any one nature of money, of relationships, of education, or of time or interest or any talent or skill. People like my voice. Good. I like that you like my voice, but not enough. There needs to be multiple affects and assertions going on so that my life is actually pushing against the wheel, if you will. So I don't know how else to say that. I don't necessarily think before I speak either. It's charming. So I guess we'll talk a little bit more about some, I don't know, I'm just making this up as I go along. You would never believe it. Oh, thank God we're almost there. I mean, it's only 8:13, so we're going to carry on. I want to talk a little bit about practical magic again, but like without being the dead horse. People out there know what sigils are, and I think that one of the more important things that we can use sigils are not just to think about in terms of like casting magic. I want people to be looking at how important and fragile their subconscious is. And one of the most important things you can do is love yourself and totally, like, if the worst you get at magic is making yourself believe that you're an awesome dude or dudette and that you can help this world, fuck, man. I mean, good enough for now. And so, like, one of the things I want you to do is start, like, taking the sigils. Basically what? You take a statement, make it simple and believable in present tense as if it's happened or happening now, and then you cut off all the vowels, cut them out, just goodbye vowels, and then you take that, cut out the doubles, goodbye doubles, you got a T and a T, all right, you only need one. Take them all, mush them together into a pretty picture, take the pretty picture, turn it into another pretty picture, you got that thing that's reduced to a pretty picture that's kind of like not something you're paying attention to. Bunch of different ways. Look up how to cast sigils. You'll find the rest of the way there. But now I brought you half the way. Now you have to drink. Now, but here's to get the rest of the point. The things to cast for would basically be, and I'm just talking about beginner magic too, and I'm talking to all the people who are listening to this from the beginning or whatever. What you need to do is look at yourself from like a, what's your capability? What's your talent? Like, what's the thing you want to lean into? Like, what's the thing you know you're good at that if you were totally even better at and there is no obstacles in your way that you could totally like hack the code of the world with? So start with something that you know is real and just like lean into that like a, I don't know, like a, in a Final Fantasy, you can kind of give your character a boost with some kind of like spell, so a boon or something like that. So start by like sigiling those kind of things about like, I am a talented this or whatever is personally fixable, fix worthy for you. And remember not only to start like, you know, sigiling for that and just take it easy, do it, whatever's light enough to get you into it. This is purely beginner stuff. If you want to also do another thing, keep a dream journal and keep a synchronicity journal. That's you can look up what that is. And also make sure that when you're in your twilight sleep moments, when you're like in your moments where you're most vulnerable, that's when your subconscious is like super ripe. That's kind of some interdimensional liminal 40 and stuff going on. So in there, you want to make sure that you tell yourself just all these really good things. It's just don't, you're the only one who you have to deal with. You're you. No one else is in there but you. So tell yourself how cool you are, how good you are, how useful you are, how awesome you are. If it doesn't feel right, then you know something's trying to fuck with you because you're naturally a good or otherwise just a light being. So straight up, you know, I mean, God created us, like the grand architect created the genome, the human being, the Adam and Eve, if you will, if you get all serious about it, I suppose. But depending, he or she or it or whatever created us to have a particular set pattern of intensities and fluxes and flows. And ultimately, we can, if we do our best, this doesn't have to be perfect, but we can actually live a workable world that has, you know, emotions and simplicity and patience and compassion. And it actually lives in harmony with the material resonance. You know what I mean? It's like, you either want it or you don't. But like, you're going to say, oh, I'm protesting for it. No, you're not. You're a tool. You're saying like, you want this. I'm like, no, you're not. We really need to have an adult conversation to make this happen. And it cannot be yelling at each other. It cannot be kicking and screaming. It can't be doing what's been done before. I don't have the answers yet, but I mean, like, this is our time to try right now. And I mean, like, what the f*** if we don't? So I think just, like, if anything I could bring to the table for this humble service for this evening is just, like, you know, we need to remember that, like, it's good to talk about cryptids, it's good to talk about ghosts, it's good to talk about this, that, the other thing, and that's entertaining. But ultimately, you know, let's have that, like, for a 12th of our lives, but there's, like, another 12 to consider. So coming back around from the Capricorn angle, I want to say that, like, when I was picked up and plucked here and dropped into this town, several strange things were happening with regards to, like, where I was living. And basically, the
person who was living, without giving too much about my own stuff away, I would move into the place where a woman who had kissed me on the cheek would say to me, it's going to be okay. She kissed me on the cheek. Within 7 days, she was dead. And I moved into where she was living. And God bless you. I love you. And thank you. And so, like, for straight up, like, there's been a whole bunch of weird things that have circulated around. Even my, like, this is some stuff. Like, this is, like, another thing I want us to all to dig into is, like, the story of your own life. Look at what's going on with you. You're not an accidental random bombardment of molecules. That is the most limp dick metaphysic ever. All right? You want an impotent life? Be a fucking materialist. I'm sorry. I should probably edit this out. No, I'm not going to. God bless you, and please pardon my language for those of you who know my true nature. I'm trying to watch my language. But I do feel strongly about being good in the world, and you cannot be good if you are without God, so to speak, hyperbolically speaking or otherwise. But I have a question that I see. Got to understand, my screen's far away. For those listening to the show, I'm trying to also field questions on the thing in a doodle there. Oh my goodness, there's a few. Why is the Power Rangers theme coming to mind? That's weird. Subconscious. I don't even like the. That was my brother's thing. I was more into like Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Sailor Moon. Don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone I was into Sailor Moon. Do not. All right. Let's see here. You can have one. I was trying to rearrange your situation. Ooh, I like this. That's a good one. To create a mantra. Ooh, I like that one, TSK. Guys, you got to understand it's hard for me to do anything that's too long for a. Please try to, if you have sentences, it would help. I can read things that are brief. You have a good reference one can. Yeah, typical. Go with Grant Morrison of the Disinfo. You just go to that, and it'll be a freaking awesome video of Grant Morrison going nuts on stage. That's a great way to learn how to make sigils. I think a lot of chaos magicians learn through Grant Morrison's Disinfo talk. It's kind of like the go-to, kind of like, it's a great video. It's fun. And, anything else you can have, like, there's just things online. But like I said, it really is, take your statement. Oh, Freighter Xavier has the Words of Power series. So I recommend the Words of Power series as well. So Freighter Xavier, Grant Morrison, there you go. Bob's your uncle. So let's see here. And now the Little Mermaid song, guys. They used to call this ADHD. Now we're calling it being a magician. Isn't that great? No, it's funny though. We were actually right the whole time. Pathologizing of the human condition is one of the most anti-human things we could possibly see in a society. You know, it's just another version. When I hear someone say ADHD, I hear them say, burn the witch. Let's see what we
put call. Labels on you, dehumanize you. Then they can blame everything on that. And be like, oh, you're ADHD. You're bipolar. That's all it.
Yeah, we don't take people like that seriously. They're clowns. They're jokes of existences. Well, to a degree. I mean, there are actually people out there that have severe problems, but there's a big difference between, you know, actually trying to be helpful in a profession and just being a Nazi. So anyways, and I rarely use that term, but I will use it when it comes to people attempting to do that because that's directly connected. I'm sure Kurt Bivens and I have seen some of the stuff that Richard Andrew Grove has put out concerning MKUltra and different kinds of what is it? Edward Bernays and Sigmund Freud and such. Do you want to say a little bit about that quickly?
Well, yeah, you mentioned Edward Bernays. He's the nephew of Sigmund Freud. He wrote the book literally called Propaganda. And he broke the stigma of women smoking cigarettes, you know, with using suffragettes in the Macy's Day Parade. So I gave this little bit of nugget of knowledge to my wife one time. And it made her like, second guess cigarettes a little bit. So ever since I had that, and I had an effect, an obvious effect that I saw right in front of me just by giving somebody some words. It was there was no going back really from that.
Powerful. I love that.
Was Bernays also the same person that made bacon and eggs a thing? Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yeah. Yep.
James Corbett did a really good video on him.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool that you know that. Right on, man. TSK, Joey, great Edward. TSK and Joey, do you guys know about Edward Bernays or how he was Sigmund Freud's nephew and how he actually got dilettante women to enter a Macy's Day parade smoking cigarettes as if they were being, you know, oppressed? So they were able to make it marketed as, it's the same thing with anyone says that they're the underdog. It was underdog marketing, basically. So do you appreciate the tactic? Have you heard of this before, TSK and Joey?
I hadn't heard that specific story before. I had heard the bacon eggs thing before, though, so that's interesting. But it's funny how we see, at least in my opinion, a lot of that same thing. Like, you see a lot of these groups that have it pretty good, but they're claiming oppression of various things, and they're doing certain things that are actually making things worse for them, but they're thinking it's better. Like, it's the same type of tactic being used all around.
That's true. Yeah, good one, mate. Joey, what do you know about this stuff?
Yeah, pretty much the same as TSK. I heard about the bacon and eggs thing. In fact, I actually seen an article for that recently. Oh. Yeah.
Must be something that we were supposed to touch on this evening, because that's some other kind of like beginner level. It's more like the conspiracy side of magic, conspira magic and such. You know, I would like to see like people coming together across the board, like eventually, just like, you know, I mean, we are the new adults, basically. We can change the paradigm of how we actually work with this. People are dying off. And I think we can reach a critical threshold of awareness now. Maybe it's just something to do with the astrology that's in all of our star DNA at this point. Or maybe it's just what I want to see happen, and I'm going to kick against the pricks until it can happen then. Or I don't know how it's going, but, you know, I think that it's time for us to actually, like, critically change, not just, like, some BS as it's always been, you know, it's always revelations, it's always this. You know, what does it look like when we practically boots on the ground across the board change this? And what does it look like so it's not some kind of like Soylent Green, you know, mass depopulation via weather warfare? I don't know. Make up your weird fucking death count thing here. Depopulation, paranoia, porn. But like, what do we actually do to, you know, this is the question. What does it look like when we practically change it and become the next generation of adults that are actually running this thing? And importantly enough, how do we bring the spiritual so that it, because the only way that this is going to work ever, and the only way any proper society, especially one that's aware of us and complex as ours now, the only way it's going to survive is if we actually have a true connection with spirit connected to all of us, whatever that is. But like, if you have that, anytime that you're striking against the overall, you're going to feel it immediately. So I don't know. I have vague things to say right now, but I hope that we're getting closer and closer and closer towards a constructive understanding of what I'm saying, especially from the Capricorn-Jupiter angle. And with that, this show is brought to you by Hans Molman's glasses. Never see anything again. Sorry, there's sometimes I can't help with some abyss humor. Honestly, sometimes it seems like there's just so much to do. It's just like, boop, poof. At the same time, I think that's how we need to understand that there's a darkness in all of us. Like, you know, speaking of Freud or Bernays, they talk about Thanatos or the Thanos drive or whatever it is, the destructive capability within us all. And the only way, again, when I say like we need to be connected to spirit or whatever that is, also another requirement of the future is that we all work on our shadow selves. We all fight the shadow inside and integrate, just the same as we begin to win the war on dreaming. There's a third aspect. It's all about psychic hygiene. It's all about being a cleanly person inside. And if you've had problems and like you find yourself in a repeating recurrence issue, you need to either do two things. You need to face what it is and accept that you're not going to do anything to change it, and just accept a life of fuck. Or you're going to do the hard thing and rip the tick right off your flesh, let the blood pour out, let the parasite be held up into the flame, let the light purify you as you cleanse yourself of it, watch the tick's body burst and your blood flow free. It was only your right to do so, for it was gouging off of you. So I would say make the second choice, but you know, that's just random advice. I feel like I'm trying to answer things, and my Pisces rising means I do things kind of mysteriously. So anyways, how can you be very mysterious about being mysterious when you're saying you're being mysterious? Well, fuck meta jokes. Anyways, we're getting near the end of the show, about 5 or 10 more minutes. Is there, I'm going to call on people now. So please do not jump off your mic if you're not, whatever and such, you know, show rules, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to be nice until someone fucks around and then I eat your face and all that jazz. So I'm not going to make a mask out of you. Don't worry. I'm just hungry. So let's go in alphabetical order. TSK, how you doing tonight, man? Do you have anything you want to share, or like just anything that's on the top of your head, or like any cool shit you want to say?
There we go. Can I talk? Okay, there we go. It was messing up on me for a second there. I guess I do have something to say. No, I guess the only topic I would talk about is we were talking the other day about star magic and the whole Ursa Major bear asterism thing and the whole, you know, seven stars. And come to find out, our good friend Peter Lavenda apparently has an entire book about that exact topic through like multiple cultures. So I got that coming tomorrow and probably have a lot more weird things to say about that later.
You and me, you and I can talk about Stairway to Heaven later.
Yes.
I have all the way I got into magic. I'm so fucking, yeah, we could probably ride this to the end of the show, actually. I was like introduced to magic essentially through several different ventures. Like it was always hitting me at different angles, like white magic as a kid, Dungeons and Dragons, Magic the Gathering, just hippie stuff and psychedelics and, you know, whatever, you know, Tool, for example. But like the first time that I really got into something that was like, you know, that I knew that like it was weird and that it fit with my weird was when I got into this book about like, this goes without saying, but like, I'm a very passionate, powerful, and dare I say profound person. So when it comes to matters of sex, you've got my attention. If it has to do with power and passion and profundity, which it taught me how to have multiple orgasms, which was something that I thought physics was not supposed to allow for the man. Rip off, right? No pun intended. They already snip off our, you know, covenant. I mean, not everyone. God bless you if you avoided that. And we don't need no education death trap. But, you know, basically, you know, they're already kicking you left and kicking you twice. So now the men got, you know, oh, yeah, we got all the control in the world. Yeah, but, you know, so blah, 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 right? And I found out that you can actually have multiple orgasms. And it's through that Chinese magic, man. It's Mantak Cha. So the first stuff that really made sense to me, I didn't comment like magic, like people like, and like so many, like, oh, I don't know. We hear a lot of Gerald Gardner, a lot of Wicca, yada, yada, yada. Maybe, no offense, but like with love, but like Golden Dawn or even, you know, Rosicrucians or Freemasons, you know. Gotta watch out for those Freemasons. So anyways, the idea is that tiny star magic and your body matching up and you being able to it was called the $1 million button. Emperors in China would pay the wise men millions of dollars to teach them to press a point underneath the perineum. I'm not sure if it's a Kuiper's gland or whatnot. You know, you can do Kegel exercises to strengthen this, but metaphysically speaking, this is, of course, like what? Your first chakra. This is your root chakra up into your second chakra. And these are fundamental places to have as like solidly, like physically strong as you can right now. You know, for whatever position you're at in your life, use that shit, because your magic's not just like, can I throw a thing into a river? You know, I mean, like, I don't personally, the only black magic I think exists is when people curse themselves. I don't tend to really believe in the black magic so much. I just try to stay focused on the upward spiral good, because dude, it's hard being human. Conquer thyself, right? And then surrender to love and do good things for the world. You find out the creepy people who are like being creepy are, it just, you get what you get. Anyways, so being good people aside, the Chinese sex magic, I think if we're all happy in bed and we can be good, useful people in bed, I think we're going to be really happy people in general. And I think that's a huge part of magic is where I was going with that. It's not just like this or that. It's, there's like seven great parts of magic in life, and one of them is your tantric ass. No pun intended. So get that shit going too. Like, look at this. Like, you can do the dream work. You can do this, the sigils, but it's also important to do the sex. And I think that's important to be mentioned. And I think that's also something, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, you need to do sex and you need to do mathematics. And you think I'm fucking around. I'm so serious. You need to get real good at sex and you need to get real good at math. And that's what you expected to hear from the show. See, at least there's something on this show that's helpful. People be like, dude, I saw Bigfoot. I'm like, dude, you can ejaculate with the force of a dynamite. No, don't do that. You'd probably like ruin your stir. You're not gonna have a good day. This is not medical advice on the Six of Wands. You did not hear any legal advice, medical advice, or anyone else. What? This is not an advertisement for. Anyways, actually, so does anyone before we wrap? And yeah, I'm gonna wrap pretty soon because that was actually really cool that you mentioned that. Yeah, I guess like you know, no. I mean, if you want to, dude, just don't, no pictures. Like, keep that to yourself is all. Someone asked if they should do quadratic equations, yada, yada, and something sexy. We keep things anonymous here because it's not going to blow up anyone's spot. But, you know, maybe if you solve it at the same time, you could open up a wormhole. You feel me? Get back to us on that. But that's right. You have to solve the equation nice. As you climax. You have to hold down the button and suddenly aliens, right? Underpants gnomes profit. We figured it out. All right.
I'll let you know.
I'm glad that you guys could get something from this show this evening. And yeah, so that was Robert, our friend Robert, saying goodnight, and TSK was with us, Joey J and Kurt. Thank you guys all for being here. Mysteries abound. All right, guys. Well, thank you all for being here on the Six of Wands. This has been great. This is the live call-in interactive show of the Six of Series. That's the Six of Swords, which is art, spirituality, and healing, a one-on-one. And I'll remind you at this point, it is occultfan@gmail.com when you go to PayPal. When you get up to $55.55, you can start a character on the Value for Value role-playing game, which, when we have more people, are held during these sessions live. The longer we go in the show, the more this will be dedicated to getting those sessions going. When you dedicate time to this, you also get to get your character evolved, and there become real-life rewards for those who win. Not everyone will win. Some people's characters will unfortunately die, but that's part of the fun. Staying on my good side probably means your characters... No, I'm just kidding. I'm fair. I will definitely be a great, fair, not kill you in one hit if you're pissing me off kind of guy. No acid traps. All right, guys. Now, sir, another important thing to realize is that in the game, when you donate to the show, and you can choose which episode of the show you want to donate to. So it's like, oh, I love that episode. Dude, you just donated $100 to it last week. I love that episode. Okay, you can do that. Anytime you donate, it actually goes straight into your wallet in the game. So every money that you spend in the real world is affection or value for value. You get in the game as well. So it continues. So there's things that are building. There's a magical world that's going to come. And we're eventually going to be seeing what we're going to be doing with magical workings and including them in this actual game of higher dimensional maths. So, you know, maybe one of the ways that you'll have to defeat a dragon is to do quadratic equations on the princesses. But anyways, I digress. You guys are really great. I've had a lot of fun with everyone here this evening. Thank you so much to everyone who showed up. Again, when you show up to these, sometimes I do this and sometimes I don't. This evening, I will do this. Everyone who has been here this evening, when you eventually show up on the game, I'm not going to give you anything crazy cool this evening, but everyone here will get a mystery in-item prize. I'm not going to even, it's going to be something silly and trivial, but only the people who are here this evening will get it, and that's kind of exactly why you'd be here. So cool things happen, and it's because of the stars, dude. You need to realize that life's a precious moment. All these alignments happening that you, just for example, you are yourself, are one precious alignment of celestial star DNA. Every moment is. And when you can learn to live and dance and even play in that, you're fucking badass. And you're going to be a better person overall, no matter how you apply yourself. And everyone who's listening to this, Merry Christmas. And, you know, if it's another time of year, have a nice day. But basically, this is Yule, and I'll end this tonight. So I'm just going to end with a monologue. This is going to be me not talking for the rest of the show here.
just to finish up by saying this is a very important time. This is the 22nd of December. I myself am a 22nd. I'm September 22nd for my birth. 22nd is an extremely powerful manifestor number. Basically, long and short, the 11s are the spiritual manifestors and the 22s are the physical dudes. So the guys who are here or dudettes or whatever to do things in this realm. And so basically straight up how it goes is that my north node and south node reflect this. I'm coming from a life where I was probably some crazy fucking magician. People keep thinking I'm Aleister Crowley. I'm like, you got to chill the fuck out with that. Excuse my language. I really do need to watch my language. And, you know, there's the fact that Parley, Crowley and Parsons were both Libra sons like yours truly, or, you know, so it's all these weird things with people seeing Parsons manifestations. I don't want to get into any further. The point is that in this life, I came from a place of super fucking magic, and I'm here to bring it from there. And my north node is at a critical degree in Taurus. So it goes from the ninth house to the third house. So I'm here to translate all of that and bring it into people's regular daily lives and understandings. And that's, again, an interesting 93 thing, since, you know, ninth house to third house. So I could get even deeper into this, but I'm here to do something. And I will finish by saying that we hope to God that it's not opening the abyss, because I'm going to do good things. It's that or that. So it's the abyss or good things. I'm choosing the good things. And that being said, thank y'all for listening to the Six of Wands. Enjoy this kick-ass outro of music after my little blurb that I will probably add in the post-production. Until we get fully streamlined, we're going to have post-production. Again, occultfan@gmail.com. Or you can also just, you know, shoot on over the Six of Swords Discord and ask me how to do it over there. Six of Swords Discord is on Discord. I don't know. Y'all figure that out. I'm done with the show. Thank you for listening, and y'all have a wonderful whatever it is.
All right. Well, that's our show.